Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you. I'm so honored to have my guest, Deacon Philip Henneman. He's a convert to the faith, and he's also a co-host of a great podcast called Strange Catholics. You can check it out on Anchor and wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever. So check it out. Deacon Phil, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, William. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Such an honor. Sorry for the pun, linking up with you on LinkedIn.
Indeed.
But glad I did. So thanks for agreeing to come on and talk about your story.
Yeah, love to share my story. And it's so good to be able to connect with you. Yeah, you know, more virtually than we do just on LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah, so what's your background? I guess we could start there. What's your background?
Yeah, so I was raised Lutheran Missouri Synod. Okay. And you know, as I've done a lot of reflection, now being a deacon and have just led other retreats and stuff, reflecting on my upbringing, I always thought it was a very, very conservative Christian home. Some of my siblings have had a different view, but that was really important, was going to catechism class. We studied Luther's catechism, studying the Bible, going through confirmation, you know, doing all of these kind of, you know, normal rites of passage in the Lutheran church. It was Missouri Synod, so it was a conservative church. And, you know, but I did see there were these little cracks that I would see in a couple of things. They pushed out, the elders of our church pushed out a pastor that I really had a great affinity for. And that was kind of jarring. It was jarring to the whole community and to our family as well. So growing up Lutheran, and then it was kind of, you know, as a teenager, I kind of fell away even from that a little bit. I would still mostly regularly go to church. I know a number of times I tried to push myself to throttle through the whole Bible in a year, and it didn't work really well. Shout out to Father Mike Schmitz, who has that great podcast.
Absolutely.
To help us all walk through it again. But so I kind of fallen away. And while I was in the military, I was in the Navy, I was a hospital corpsman, and I met up with a beautiful soul of a pastor, Pastor Ogney from out in Maryland. And we were just sitting down together, going through scripture. I was going back and forth over some scripture that I was really struggling with, and we were just praying with it. And he just started a spark that we couldn't find the exact answers that kind of rested well with my soul. And so we were in John, John 6, because I said, well, if this is what it says it should be, why are we using these little disposable plastic cups and we throw them away? And so that was kind of where some of our conversation was, because that's what we were using for the wine, what we called the blood of Christ. And we would just dispose of those. So those were some of my questions, right? There was a lot of reverence for communion. But I was wrestling with those things. My wife was raised Catholic, but not nearly as deep into her faith as we are now. So I had those conversations, and then I come out of the Navy, come back home. So I was a Lutheran. I'd go to Mass with my family, wouldn't go up to receive, helped my oldest stepson go through first Eucharist and first reconciliation. So I had kind of questions about some of those things. And then when my daughter was going through it as well, it was kind of like, wow, you know, what is, you know, there's something about this that's interesting. but it wasn't enough. I'd mentioned, hey, you know, maybe I should become, you know, what does it mean to become Catholic? I didn't know. And so 12 years ago, I mentioned it again to my wife, and then we saw something in the bulletin, and I said, well, maybe. I joined a Catholic online institute to try and learn a lot. I had a number of Dr. Scott Hahn's beautiful books, too many to mention, and yes, CDs too, from Lighthouse Catholic Media. I was just pouring all of this information in because I had a lot of questions that I wanted to really get through. I wouldn't say RCIA filled in all of those holes, but it was a really beautiful vehicle to ask a deacon questions. There was a deacon that was leading that, Deacon Steve, and it was a beautiful environment to see all these different people and their different faith paths coming together to come into the church. So it was a beautiful experience. It was April 3rd of 2011 when I came into the church.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen to that. I want to circle back though to what you were struggling with John 6. You had mentioned it with, and I visited there's a couple of Missouri Synod churches here in Tucson. And like you said, very conservative Lutheran congregations. They really are. But you mentioned those plastic cups. And I guess what specifically was it that bothered you, that got you thinking about that?
Because now as a Catholic, I know something different, but not knowing, I was like, well, if this is, because the Lutheran pastor will use the same or similar words of institution that a Catholic priest will use. They're almost exactly the same. So they're using those same words from the Last Supper, right? And so I was saying, well, if this is the blood and it's in these little plastic cups, why do we just throw it away? When does it cease to become? And that was kind of the question that both the pastor and myself were kind of, that's what I was wrestling with. And you could see there was some, you know, the answers he was giving were not satisfying that hunger that I had. I didn't know what it was, but it was definitely something that I was like, I feel like I'm missing something. And that's kind of, you know, that was kind of I had a deeper hunger to know more. And so I started digging in. I read a lot of St. Thomas Aquinas, the Summa, even before coming into the church. So.
Well, you just dug right in.
I did. Well, you know, I don't have a college degree. So I didn't do any, some formal studies, but I did a lot of training in the military and a lot of, you know, scholastic things that way. And I thought, well, if I can do some of these things, read some of these things, maybe, school was one of the big deterrents for me for even considering the diaconate. Because I was like, you know, I probably can't make it through that master's course. So, you know, I wanted to challenge myself intellectually as much as possible to pour over and get into the beautiful words of St. Thomas Aquinas and many other beautiful saints, the church fathers. So, and there's so much free online that I just poured over that. It was beautiful.
New Advent is such a great resource.
It is. I love it.
Now I want to circle back. And you said you were talking to your pastor about why you just throw it away. Cause obviously it's the blood of Christ. You know, if we're saying it's the blood of Christ, why we're throwing it away. Does it go back to the difference between transubstantiation and consubstantiation?
That was where that's what he was saying. Well, you know, it is for this time, but then it isn't. And I was like, well, when does it, you know, why is there just, that was kind of what I was wrestling with. And, you know, there were things about confession too, right? I asked questions, you know, not in the way that I know it now, but, you know, I was like, well, what does this look like? And is this something that, you know, can I go to, can I bring these sins to you? And, you know, so I had a lot of, I didn't know at the time, but Catholic questions that I was asking. So a pointed part of this was that I was watching as Pope St. John Paul II was really failing in his health. And then when he died, I sat and watched that and I didn't know why, but I was watching it and could see the reverence that all of these people had for this person that was the head of the Catholic Church, which I knew almost nothing about the Catholic Church, except for maybe some relatives that we, as a family, kind of just were like, yeah, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of crazy Catholics. or strange Catholics, as I like to now say.
So when you're going through this process, what was your family thinking?
When I told my family, my wife and all the kids, they were supportive. But when I told my, my siblings and other family, some of them were like, why would you do that? They thought it was a weird thing that you would join the Catholic Church, because they thought they still see it as something at odds with whatever it might be. So even today, so they definitely saw it as something weird. My parents were wholly supportive, even though my father, God rest his soul, was a fallen away Catholic. He had a lot of different issues with a lot of different things, but he still was supportive. He was there at my my first Eucharist and confirmation on the Easter Vigil, and there at every one of my children's baptisms, there when my marriage was celebrated. So, you know, they were most of them were very supportive.
Oh, praise God.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, you came into the church in 2011, and you're a deacon now. When did you start feeling that call to the diaconate?
Well, I would say, William, that it was a call that God placed in my heart even when I was a young teenager, because there was always this hunger to serve. So at first I thought, well, maybe that hunger to serve was to be a police officer. And I tried out school. I think I did like two courses. And I was like, no, this isn't for me. I'll just keep working. And then I thought, maybe it's in the military. So then I joined the military, and then God had another plan for me, because I came home more quickly than I thought I would. So then I was like, well, I don't know what it is then. Growing up, I thought, you know, I'd be like a youth pastor in the Lutheran church or something like that, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. That was the only kind of example I had. And then coming through RCIA and seeing a deacon, and then just hearing this call on my heart, it just became more poignant that this is where God was leading me. And it didn't make sense. I had an application and then never turned it in for a year because I was like, I don't know if I can do this. God convicted me to do it. And so I did it. And thanks be to God, I'm where I am today.
So you're going through the formation process, and some dioceses are different. And you're up in Minnesota. Can you give us maybe what struggles you had during the formation process? Maybe what that process is like where you're at?
Yeah. So we have, I would say, a very robust formation program. It's 4 to 6 years. So it's a master's degree. It's called a Master in Arts and Ministry is the degree. It's at St. John's University in Collegeville. And to start out, because I had never been to college, I had no idea what I was getting into. I didn't really know how to actually write papers. So that was definitely a struggle for me. Just knowing, you know, last time I'd written them was in high school. We wrote some things in the military, but it wasn't structured like this. So it was very different in that way. And reading that much material, I thought I'd been reading a lot, but when they give you, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600 pages, you know, with all your classes to read in a week, it's like, okay, we can do this. So, you know, there were some scholastic, but there was the beauty. So the gentleman that I do the podcast with, we were all in formation together. So we would meet at a coffee shop and do a spiritual communion together, and we just get together and pray. A lot of what's on the podcast is the same things we would talk about in the coffee shop, things we were struggling with, things we were observing. And that's just some of the beautiful fruits from it. It took me a while to get over some of my own, you know, ills that I have. I was a very staunch perfectionist. I wanted everything to be perfect. And that doesn't bode well if you're going to try to do school and work and have a family. So I had a beautiful spiritual director, Father Joseph, guided me and just helped me kind of work through that and see that, you know, you're not going to reach perfection, but you can do the best you can and be grateful for the gifts you have. So yeah, it was beautiful. It was very challenging time, but it stretched me in all the bright ways. It made me into and molded me into the deacon that I am today.
So when were you ordained?
I was ordained in 2019, June of 2019.
Oh, coming up on a year. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So what ministries are you involved in, or maybe are you in charge of now?
RCIA is my big one. That's the one that I like the most. COVID has kind of put a crimp in some of my other ministries that I was doing, but trying to find different ways. Adult formation, adult faith formation is another area as well that I do quite a bit of focus in. When I can, I try to do as much as I can with benediction, exposition, trying to bring people into that beautiful encounter with Christ in the Eucharist. So that those are kind of the biggest areas that I serve in ministry, and then, you know, preaching once a month, those kinds of things.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about your podcast, Strange Catholics. How did that idea come about?
William, I've had a dream of having a podcast for so many years, and we would always talk about it, and we would, you know, jab back and forth. We should do this. This is such a great idea. And we just, during COVID, we just said, hey, we should just do this. And Bob is the one that just really pushed us to say, let's just do it. Let's do it. And so I figured out how to find something we could record with that would work. And we just started running with it. We don't have a website. We just use Anchor as our website, but it was just, you know, we've had such great fruits come out of the conversations we had. And we were like, well, I'm sure other people want to listen to us too, maybe. So that's kind of how it started.
So what are some things that you discuss on the podcast?
A lot of we try to touch on something that's happening in the world that relative to the time of when we record, and we'll give some of our own reflections with a Catholic lens on this or that. And usually it's tied into a main topic. We'll usually have a main topic that'll be some kind of catechesis or doctrinal teaching, something where we can help expand people's knowledge of the beauty of our Catholic faith. And then every episode we have a saint spotlight where we pull out a saint for the week relative to when we record or post. And then Deacon Terry is the one that goes through and just does this beautiful exegesis on the saint, and then helps us all learn about who this saint is so we can love them more.
Great. And again, that podcast is on Anchor, and you can check it out at anchor.fm/strangecatholics. So what feedback have you gotten from, have you received any feedback from listeners about the podcast, like how it's helped them at all?
A little. We don't have a lot of feedback. It's been a struggle of ours to get feedback, but the feedback we've had has been really positive. A lot of the feedback has been that they really love that Saint Spotlight. So
great.
That's a staple. Bob and I, on our first two segments, we're kind of going back and forth on what's the right mixture to try and get more excitement around that. But they really, really like the Saint Spotlight. So, you know, learning more about these beautiful saints, these great witnesses that we have that have gone before us that can intercede on our behalf and inspire us on our journey here on the church militant. So I just love it. I love the opportunity to share this great piece of this great beauty of our church with the world.
Now, do you have any words of advice for someone who may be looking at the Catholic Church and is maybe hesitant about joining? Maybe because they're afraid of what their family may think or what their friends may think, or maybe what's going on in the church in general in some areas.
Yeah. So my advice would be persevere, because that prompting that God has placed in your heart, don't quell it, because he'll just keep bringing it back up and bringing it back up. You know, there will be trials. There will probably be some attacks, both, you know, from family, friends, maybe, and maybe even spiritually, but just persevere. You know, Christ wants you to be a member of his church, and he just longs so deeply for you to be in that communion with him. So persevere, and you will encounter something like you've never encountered before.
Well, amen. Deacon Phil, I appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your story, how you came to become a deacon, and with what you're doing with the podcast and everything. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, William. This is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.